You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.
Good morning, everybody. My uncle served in Vietnam, and he received two Purple Hearts. And growing up, I always thought about the Purple Hearts. I always thought about the sacrifice that he made. But it wasn't until later that I understood that those Purple Hearts were received because of friends that he lost, guys that he served with that had stepped on mines, and that he had been injured as a result of those mines. And so it was an added burden that he took with him. As we celebrate Memorial Day, and as we think about that, let's be true to our master, our leader, Jesus, and comfort those who mourn. Comfort those who carry with themselves the invisible burdens, the invisible scars, whether that be a family that has lost someone in the line of duty or someone who's a veteran. And we might think, well, it's not Veterans Day, today's Memorial Day, and knowing that they carry with them those that have served as well. So make sure we do. We take time for that this weekend. Good morning. My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside Christian Church. And we're going through the Gospel of Mark. We've been going through it for a few months now. And last week, we had just a tremendous guest speaker. I'm sorry you guys are stuck with me today. Jen did such a good job speaking last week. Jen Kelly from Chicago. And if you didn't get a chance to hear her message, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it, whether it's on wherever you get your podcasts or on our Facebook page or on YouTube. If you're streaming online right now, you can pop over and watch that after this today. It's so good. The question she left us with was, does your desperation lead you to Jesus? Does your desperation lead you to God? And that's where we should be led in times of suffering, in times of trial. I really encourage you to check that out. Weather has been amazing this week. Couldn't get better weather this week. I would take the weather we've gotten 365 days out of the year. It's just been incredible. Has anybody been outside working on their yards this week? Got a few people. All right. I hope you've gotten outside. Anybody that is going to or has already maybe gone outside and been on the river or on the lake, gone out to East Warwick, gone on the Ohio River, anybody? Couple people. I see some hands. The story that we're looking at today in Mark chapter 8, and honestly, most of the first half of the book of Mark, you'll see that Jesus and his students, his disciples, spend a lot of time on the lake, out on a boat, what some of us are going to be doing this weekend. In Mark chapter 8, after once again miraculously feeding, a large crowd of 4,000 people, Jesus and his disciples go out on the Sea of Galilee. And as they spend time on the water, Jesus continues to teach them. But they weren't understanding him. And their lack of understanding their teacher shows us something that we all can be guilty of. You can be with Jesus, you can witness God's power, but still miss the signs that he's already given you. When we study the teachings of Jesus, are we looking and listening with a desire to learn and be transformed, or are we jumping to our own conclusions? Are we missing the signs that God has given us? Are we missing Jesus? All of us have missed signs in our lifetime, some of us more than others. When I was just out of college, I was fresh in ministry. I wasn't here at Parkside yet. I went to a college football game. I went to an Ohio State football game because my wife, Alicia, her twin brother, Cam, was in the ROTC at Ohio State, which meant he got to raise the flag for the football games. And so we used his tickets to sit and watch the football game, but we also got to see him raise the flag. And so he raised the flag for the game. We watched the game, had a great time, went out to eat afterwards, and then we came back to where our car was. where our car was not. We looked around, didn't see any glass on the ground. And so we started looking for signs. And finally, on the other side of a tree, on the far side of where we parked, I mean, it was impossible to see. It said no parking on game day. I'm like, come on. And so it ruined our weekend because I was supposed to be leading worship somewhere the next morning. We had to wake up before the sun came up the next day, go to the impound lot, get the car, and practically break every speed law back down to where we were supposed to be for worship just to get there on time. But it was all because I missed a sign. Sometimes you spot the signs. The signs are all around us. But if we're not observant, we're going to miss them all. But you just don't know what the signs are for. Sometimes they're just too confusing. Like this one. Through traffic, merge. Like this, I look at this sign and it raises my anxiety. My heart rate starts to pump. I go, I don't even want to see what that road looks like. Or maybe this is the sign that, like, I feel like this is the sign that they had up at Ohio State. It was like, you can't park here, you can't park here. Hey, don't bother it. Just give us the car keys. We'll tell you where you can pick up the car from the impound lot later. Sometimes the signs are simple. You're wondering if you're missing something, though, right? Caution, fire is hot. That's a head scratcher. You're trying to tell me something. I'm just not sure what you're trying to tell me. Now, we'd like to think that we're all natural detectives, that we're good at picking up signs, picking up signals, but naturally, we're not gifted at recognizing things or reading maps. We go someplace new, someplace unfamiliar, and as we try and get our bearings, the signs might as well be written in a different language altogether. We're only looking for signs that we expect, which means we miss a lot of things that are right in front of our face. Life's biggest questions put together with life's biggest pains, biggest disappointments, can leave us wondering if there is a map or a sign that explains life at all. Or if we dive down just a little deeper, if there is a God, why did he bother making the map or the signs so confusing to understand? Couldn't he have given us some simpler signs? Let's go ahead, if you want. We're going to be in Mark chapter 8 today. We can go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 8, and we'll pick up there in just a second. To give you a little context as we turn our Bibles or our phones, devices to Mark chapter 8, the disciples and the Pharisees were both confused as we open up to Mark chapter 8, because this time when Jesus feeds this large crowd for the second time in the Gospel of Mark, when he gives everybody a free holiday barbecue on the lake, it wasn't in a Jewish community. Jen talked about this just a little bit last week. It was in the Decapolis, which was an area of mostly non-Jewish people. It would have been natural for the disciples to look around at the crowd and ask, why are we spending time on the lake with people who aren't like us, who don't like people who are like us? The disciples would have been tempted to say the quiet part out loud. Hey, Jesus, you know these people, they just want our stuff, right? They just want stuff. They just want things from you, Jesus. They want what you can do for them. They aren't our people. The Pharisees might have been wondering, too, why if Jesus did have something supernatural about him, if what people were saying, all the things that he was doing and things he was teaching, if all that really was true, why is he spending so much time up north, away from Jerusalem, where the real teachers are, teaching about his views on spirituality and God? They knew being in a non-Jewish community signified something, but they just weren't sure they liked it. So let's pick up in verse 11 of Mark chapter 8. You can read along with us on the screen or in your Bible. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven, and he sighed deeply. Parents, you get that sigh, right? You've made that sigh. Maybe you've made that sigh on customer service, right? Somebody asks you a question and you just kind of rub your forehead. He said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them. He got back in the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. The disciples discussed it amongst each other, and they said, it is because we have no bread. So they were all confused, and they were like, we got to decide what this means. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Usually, we kind of associate having hard hearts with like sinful behavior or sinful activity. I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, why are you sinful here? I think he's going, hey, you've made up your mind, but you've decided what I'm doing, and you're wrong. Your hearts aren't soft. You're not able to learn and listen. You're missing. It's interesting. So Jesus feeds 5,000. We talked about that at the beginning of May, and now here we are talking about Jesus feeding 4,000. And after both those stories, Jesus asks his disciples, hey, do you have hard hearts? And he's saying, hey, did you miss the point of what I just did? Verse 18, do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? That's where Mark ends that story. Isn't that an interesting spot to end a story? Mark doesn't finish up by going, let me explain what he was talking about. The disciples didn't understand, so let me help you understand. So the point is somewhere in there. Jesus warns them, don't be like the Pharisees, don't be like Herod. Be on guard about that. But then he says, hey, are you missing what I'm doing? This isn't some puzzle, this isn't some riddle. Do you still not understand? The Pharisees and the disciples both have something in common, but for different reasons. They still don't understand. They're at two different places in their journey, but they still don't understand. Let me explain it this way. A sign, the sign that the Pharisees were asking for, the sign that the disciples got to see lots of, a sign points to a signifier. You see a sign and you know that it signifies something. If you were going down the highway and you saw a sign that said 30 miles till a Buc-ee's, you would know that in 30 minutes you're going to be in the greatest gas station known to mankind. You would immediately begin restructuring the rest of your vacation or the rest of your journey around that Buc-ee's because you know the billboard tells you that greatness will follow. And they don't just give you like 30 minutes. They 250 miles out, they're saying get ready for Buc-ee's. Sign after sign after sign. And never once on the journey you don't ask yourself, do you think there's a Buc-ee's? Do you think maybe 30 minutes from now we're gonna get to enjoy the goodness that is Buc-ee's? The sign signifies something. And most of the time, if it's not a sign trying to trick you into getting your car towed, you understand what that sign is for. Jesus and his miracles, the miracles pointed to his power. His actions and his words pointed to his divinity. They were signals pointing to who he was. The Pharisees weren't as far along the road or the journey as they thought they were. So they were still asking for directions. They were going, hey, where are the signs? They wanted signs. They didn't realize they were missing them. The disciples, though, they were further down the road. They were getting signs each and every day. They weren't even just getting signs. Jesus was teaching them every day. He had been providing them with a map. But they were missing the signs too. They were going by the billboards going, do we know where we're headed? Every person wanted a sign. To the Pharisees, Jesus said, you know, you're not getting one right now. It's interesting. You read that at first and you think, so Jesus didn't give the Pharisees a sign? If you go back and read the rest of Mark, you're going to see that the Pharisees were present for tons of signs. There was signals. There was road signs all along the way, but they were missing them. To the disciples, though, he said, really? Have you not understood all the street signs we've passed? What about the 12 baskets? Do you remember the 12 baskets? I took care of the crowd that day, and I took care of you, didn't I? What about the 7 baskets? Those might not have been the people you expected me to care for, but I cared for them, and I took care of you that day too, didn't I? Do you know where you are now? Do you know who I am now? Do you see the power I have? Do you see how I'm caring for you, for all the people, not just the ones you like or that are like you, but all people? Do you still not understand? I don't know what questions you have about life, about God, or why things in life have happened the way they have, but all of us, we wrestle with pretty similar questions. Hey, God, where were you when I felt so alone? God, why didn't you answer that prayer that I kept crying out to you? Why would you be so quiet? Why can't I understand you? Why can't I hear you in easier ways? Why can't you just give me a sign? If God took time to answer those questions, if you knew that you could make those appeals to him and that he would give you signs, give you directions, we wouldn't want to miss those, right? And we would want to take those answers that God would give us, and we would want to provide others with a clear map to those answers too, right? It would be important. Are there signs like that for us? Or are we just left with the questions, left to try and understand what God's doing? Jesus' disciples, they didn't stay in a state of not understanding. They didn't continually have to circle up as a team and go, do we have any idea what Jesus is talking about here? They may not have understood when Jesus took them to the Decapolis and helped people that they didn't like. They may not have understood when Jesus allowed himself to be so easily arrested or when they watched as he was crucified on a cross. But when Jesus came back from the dead, when he unexpectedly came back to life, all of his teachings, his miracles, all the time he spent with his students, all those signs began to make sense. They saw them with fresh eyes. They lined up with the map of all their ancient scriptures and prophecies. The map was there. And in that moment, they decided that they had no other choice but to make an account for all those signs. They wanted to show that God had completed his map, that he had revealed that Jesus was the hope of the world, the answer of all life's most challenging questions. They created this map that would point the world to Jesus so that the world could have Jesus point them to his heavenly Father. We've talked about this in Mark chapter 1, the very first week of this series. We said that Mark started off his letter, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark is building a billboard that says, Jesus, this way. The Son of God, this way. He's telling them where they need to go. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, did the same thing. Luke 1, 1 through 4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Luke is saying, hey, I've checked the turn-by-turn navigations. The directions are good. The signs are right. Stay on this path. It's going to take you where you want to go. God wasn't trying to make the signs hard to find. He wasn't trying to make the signs confusing. The reason that we miss them at first, the reason the Pharisees and the disciples missed them at first, is because Jesus was greater than our expectations. So the gospel writer of John, later on he wrote other letters, and this is what he says about this in 1 John 4:9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The disciples are saying, hey, let's make this clear. They didn't want the world to miss the signs and get lost along the way like they had while they were being taught. They're saying, hey, this is love. This is God. It's this person of Jesus. Jesus is the one who reveals the goodness of God to us. Are you listening? Are you looking? Don't miss the signs. I had a professor when I was in college, and he told a story in class one day as we were talking about ethics and morality. He told a story about a guy that he had talked to, that he had counseled, who had thrown his marriage away. He had been untrue to his wife, and when he was on the way to throw his marriage away, while he was about to make this decision that was going to irreparably harm his marriage, he prayed to God the whole way. And so he's driving to make this awful decision. And he's saying, God, if this is what you want me to do, let the light turn green. But then he waits at a red light. And what happens eventually? Turns green. And he does. He prays on the way to the next light. God, if you don't want me to do this, you know, just make it clear. If this is okay, let this light turn green. Was God giving him signs at every intersection? Was God going, hey, thumbs up, go ahead, I'm blessing this? No. The guy wasn't praying to God. The guy had the wrong map, and he wasn't asking God for real answers. He wasn't asking God for real guidance. He was praying to himself. He wasn't looking to God's map. He was looking to his own map, and he had already decided what he was going to stick with. Most of the Pharisees missed God's map because they had already constructed their own. They had already looked at the story. They had already decided what the signs were, and they had already decided what they were looking for. But the disciples figured out the signs that Jesus was giving them. Let's not try to make a map that holds the answers to life that we want, that takes us to the destinations that we like best. Let's see the map for what it really is. Because the map that God's given us leads us to discover something even better. That God loves us. That God cares about us. And that he has something good prepared for us. Listen to what the gospel writer of Matthew says in chapter 13. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Matthew is saying, hey, people have wanted to see the destination for a long time, and they didn't get to. For generations, people had been hearing stories and signs of Jesus' arrival. There had been prophets who had been constructing billboards along the side of the road, and they were writing these messages for people to see, and they were going, oh, Lord, how wonderful would it be if I get to see you, if I get to see this fulfilled. But they didn't get to. The Pharisees didn't need another sign. They had missed the signs along the route. They didn't realize that they were at their long-awaited destination, that in being in Jesus' presence, they didn't need a sign because they were there. They had arrived, or to better put it, Jesus had arrived to them. When you reach your destination, you don't need a sign. That might sound super obvious, but all of us have had that experience with our turn-by-turn navigation. You get to the destination, and your phone starts saying things like, please turn around. Please return to the scheduled route. And you're like, dude, I'm here. You know, take a left turn. Go back 2 parking spots. Like, I'm here. Stop. I don't need any more signs. That's why Jesus said what he did to the disciples. That's why he quotes the prophet Isaiah in our story today and in Matthew 13. He's telling them, don't be like the Pharisees who are driving right past the destination, blowing past all the signs that they've seen. Too many of us are asking God questions that Jesus has already answered. All those questions that we cry out to God that we can't understand why he won't answer us. The things in life we wish he would just give us a sign that he cares about us, that he loves us. He isn't ignoring us. He answered those 2,000 years ago. God's answer was Jesus. Where was God when you felt so alone? He was on the cross suffering so you wouldn't have to be alone. Why didn't God answer that prayer that you kept crying out to him? He was conquering death itself so that this momentary trouble, this hardship you're facing, wouldn't be how your story ends. How could God let this happen to you? He cared so much about what was happening to you that he sacrificed himself so that you wouldn't have to live in that pain forever. Why would God be so quiet? Why can't you hear God or understand God in easier ways? If you want to hear God's answer to your pain, if you want a sign in the midst of what feels like silence, look at the map that the disciples gave us. Look to Jesus, and the answers are all there. Let's look to that map. The map of the disciples, the one that Jesus gave them, chock full of signs pointing to Jesus as our destination, as our Savior. Let's open our ears and see that Jesus, or open our eyes and see that Jesus has given us a map that we've spent so much time in our lives wishing that we had. Because the map leads us to a destination that's even better. I've got one more verse that I want to read for you guys this morning. And I've been in the Gospels all morning, or I've been in the Gospel authors all morning. But this is from a guy named Paul. And Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. And he gave us a wonderful map, too, that points us to Jesus. But he references this Isaiah passage that Jesus quoted to his disciples throughout the Gospels. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2:9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Man, what a sign. What a sign for Paul to give us. You wonder what God's map is for us. You wonder where in life we should go, where in life we should turn. Love God, the God who loves us. If you're wondering, if you're wanting, if you're desiring a sign from God, look to the cross. Look to the life of Jesus, a life that Jesus allowed to be led to the cross. We're going to enter into a time of communion now. And if it's your first time here, we've got communion in bags at the black tables around the room. Don't feel bad getting up and getting those. We have people get up every week. Sometimes I even have to get up and get it. But communion is this moment. It's a sign. It's a symbol. And it reminds us what God's done for us. Something that all of human history thought was impossible. Something that would be unheard of, not just giving up your life for somebody, not just sacrificing yourself for somebody, but God himself coming to earth to die for us. The questions that we ask in life. God, where are you? Where are you when I'm hurting? When we take communion, we recognize that Jesus' answer to that prayer, to that cry of desperation, is I'm right here. I am suffering for you on a cross so that I can show you the way to the Father. If you want to be prayed for this morning, if you're asking those questions and you just need somebody to remind you that Jesus answered those questions on the cross, come forward while we have communion and I'll pray with you. Talk to me out in the lobby or grab me after the service. The signs are all there. Don't drive past them. Don't miss them. Jesus answered those questions on the cross. Let me pray. God, I come to you right now. And Lord, I know that having the answers doesn't make everything better sometimes. that pain is real, pain is raw. And we can know that it's true that you're there, and we can know that it's true that you're with us, but it can still hurt. So, Lord, I pray that you would help everyone here today, people that are watching at home now or later, they would know that you're with them, that they would know that you love them. And just like your scripture says, that your spirit would provide them with peace, with comfort. And Lord, that you would also put people around them that embody that, that show them love, that show them peace, that show them grace, or maybe just sit in the pain with them. Give us eyes that see, Lord. See how much you love us so that our hearts can feel it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.